Right, we'll get underway. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Open Council meeting today. Just a direct thing that the meeting, as always, will be recorded. So understand that that is out there and will be unedited. So I declare the meeting open at 1:01 today, and I would like to begin today by acknowledging the Gurung people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet today, and the Shire of Jeramungrup would like to pay their respects to their elders, both past and present. If all in the gallery have taken the effort to sign in the record of attendance, please, that's much appreciated. Elected members are here, staff, visitors and gallery. Any apologies? We have Councillor Foreman. There's an apology for today. No other apologies. No. We have no approved leave of absence, and we have no one absent. Declarations of interest.
Marty? Received one impartiality interest from Councillor Nathan McCoy on item 12.3.1. He owns a property out in Point Henry.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's not an adjoining property, so it's a
impartiality
interest, not a yep. proximity.
That's the only one?
Yes. So.
Yep. So we will move on to public question time. So this is the opportunity for people to ask questions. There will be an opportunity in the petitions, deputisations and presentations for people to make presentations to the council as well. So this one is for questions. Can we please ensure that all questions are addressed to the presiding member from where they will be forwarded to the appropriate members to address? So if we have any questions to come from the floor today, now is the time. Yep. If you can address your name.
Yep.
Yes, please.
Mr. President, just a couple of questions I've got. It's looking at the budget, I've noticed that you've got, and correct me if I'm wrong here too, $2.5 million for works, road works, that's down Minchie Road and Fish Road to complete that. For road construction, then I saw notices $790,000 for flood works, and that's already accounted for. Then I noticed it's $1.9 million for maintenance. I'm just wondering when you're going to spend a bit of that $1.9 million and do the road up, the potholes up on the road out to Point Henry, and make the road drivable as it is now. Bloody shocking. It's been like it for 2 years, and they come along, put a little bit of dirt in the holes, and it's not done properly. You know, your road works is your asset, and you just let it go like that. It's embarrassing to even, you know, live here. I mean, just say, hey, look at the road, look at the road. So I wonder if we could get an answer from probably the manager works if he's here, if there's anything forthcoming to do the road properly.
Pat, would you like to address, or do you want to take this on notice?
I'll address this there.
Yep.
There is the money in the budget to do some edging on Port Henry Road and also Wellstead Road. We're looking at pricing at the moment to do the edging. We're going to put a 300 mil asphalt edge on both those roads. Unfortunately, we may need to defer that by one year just to take advantage of some prices. At the moment, it's the only standalone asphalt job we have. But we've got lots next year, so we may put it off for a year, but haven't decided yet. So in the meantime, I'll have a look at that and maintain those shoulders, give them a grade maybe, and put the patch holes up for now. But there's definitely going to be some more hardening down to those roads, whether this year or next year.
Yeah, I noticed that there's a couple of holes here. One's got five bricks in it.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. But I'll have a look
right
for it.
Right opposite the council tip, so you can go and have a good look at it.
I'll have a look. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Any questions? Any other questions while we're here today?
Right. All happy with the questions. Thanks for that. So we'll move on to presentations, deputisations, petitions and submissions. Can we please ensure that all presentations, deputisations and submissions are presented in a respectful way in accordance with the council meetings procedure and accordance with the council code of conduct policies, and you know, mindful of the time that they take doing so. So if anyone has anything that they would like to present. Yep. Yes. State your name.
Tim Lyons. I'm from Magpie Rise in Shortbeach. Yeah, I wanted to talk to the development application of lot 1112 for Hill Road. Is it appropriate to do that?
Now is the time. Yes. Exactly the time to do it. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to. We sent a letter around Simon Young, talking on behalf of myself and Simon Young, who's also made by Rise. So we sent a letter around to council yesterday. I think you're the ones aware. We got to the documentation Friday night, and I understand the other things. It was a tight timetable, so apologies for doing it last night, but that was the coming out to get it together. I think we all understand the position of the application since the mediation with SAT, and from our point of view, we believe that the Shire determining the outcome with robust and considered conditions is the appropriate way to go. We believe that we support fully the officer's report and recommendations and the subject conditions. I believe that they should be implemented in that form. We do believe that there are other additional things that should be considered with this application, and I won't go into a lot of detail, I'll just hit on the headlines as to how we're thinking about them. But in the officer's report, I think it's condition 3, he states that the reception centre should be limited to 120 guests. We'd just like to point out that there's how this is defined, the 120 guests, in terms of the echo tents, and also point out that obviously there will be a lot of staff, there'll be service providers, there'll be photographers, lots of other people that are actually on the site at any one time. And we believe that the site numbers should be limited to a total amount, which includes everyone. The reason why we believe this is because it plays into the bushfire emergency plan and how those people will be escorted either off the site in the case of an emergency or shelter on site. And we think that that's appropriate, that those whole numbers should be considered. It's a total persons on site in our belief, and that should include all guests and should include all staff and services which are on site to facilitate in the particular event. Just secondly, very quickly, the bushfire emergency plan, we think it's not prepared at the moment, it's going to be prepared later. We think that that should be subject to a critical review, and endorsed by DFAS or some authority, so that the plan is solid and makes sense in terms of all events. We believe that the operations of ours should be limited. We believe that all the events should conclude by 11 p.m. All music and amplified noise should finish at 10:30. And there are a number of residents which are Horse Hill Road, which you're probably all aware of. And with their particular family position, they'd like those aspects considered. We think that there'll be liquor served, and it should be mandatory shuttle transport to and from the premises, taking the people to there and back to town, and drop off points in town, and we believe that that protects again the immediate neighbours. We think that the bushfire management plan has probably come from the application. There's aspects of it which are non-compliant. We believe that it should be subject to a independent peer review to make sure that the proponents the plan is practical and not just to suit the application. We also believe that there should be a performance bond on many aspects of this application. We believe that it should be a written performance bond on all conditions. It should be a minimum of $100,000. I'll just finish by saying that, you know, around the world at the moment, we're seeing a lot of results of climate change and other aspects, but climate change, fires, floods, and tragedies. And when these things occur, people always look back and look back for someone to blame. And I think that it's very important that the conditions are strong. They should be there to protect all the people on the peninsula, but also should protect, in hindsight, anything, if anything did happen, the council and all the people of Bremer and the Shire. I'll just finish very quickly by saying we understand the situation, we're supportive of the proposal that's being put forward by the officer and the conditions that are attached. Thank you.
Thank you for your presentation, taking the time to do that. Thank you. And yeah, thanks for your time. Anyone else wish to present? Yep, you can state your name.
My name's Matt Stewart from Planning Outcomes WA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the applicant for this DA, and I represent the landowners which are here today. So I thank you, the council, for their time and the Shire staff for processing the application. Now, in relation to the recommendation, we support the officer's recommendation. We had some discussions about some of the conditions which we think should just be advice notes. Either way, it's not too big a deal, but I think there's going to be a discussion later. I won't go any further unless you might have some questions about that. So the previous recommendation. So for the councillors, you're probably wondering, how did we get here today from a very negative report and recommendation last time to a very supportive one this time, and why should you vote to approve the DA, which is understandable. Without being too negative, we simply weren't given the standard opportunity to be notified of the Shire's and community's concerns whatsoever, nor any time to explain any misconceptions, to change any of the plans, expand on the report, or add reports by others. I also found some significant errors in several of the reasons for refusal, as we discussed in the mediation sessions. So now we have done those things, and we believe that the DA is in a approvable form. I think one of the large obstacles which sticks in the minds of a lot of councillors in these situations is objections from neighbours or the general community. And I have a lot of time for people who have genuine and reasonable concerns. It's completely fine. However, there have been a couple which you'd call as NIMBYs. And if you have the time, you can see now that we've had an opportunity, we've responded to all of the concerns in the consultation schedule, which is also a part of Appendix E of my report. So it's not in the officer's schedule. You won't see our responses there. It's in my report if you've read that. So we weren't given the opportunity the first time around, and now I've read all of those comments, and I just have to say I'm a bit gobsmacked, to be honest, about some of the concerns and opinions that have been presented to you. I think you need to take them with a bit of a grain of salt. So some of the comments could be easily answered by reading our report and plans a little bit closer. Some points I agree with and took on board. We did make some minor changes. But some of the complaints about clearing vegetation, which was wildly exaggerated, and I'm a little bit gobsmacked about this, to be honest. Some of the people complaining about this, one in particular, their property was recently illegally cleared of 500,000 square metres of bush, which is basically over half their property.
Don't think we're at the stage where we need to go into claims and counterclaims on this situation. If you've got something on that front that you would like to put towards the Shire about illegal clearing, then there is processes which you do that. The petitions and deputisation, not that period. There's opportunity for you to speak to someone about that if you wish to take that further.
I guess the
we understand what you're saying, but I think council understands what you're saying and gets.
But and council's already aware of the illegal clearing, just to be clear.
Before
but
we
the
go.
Point I'm making is that you've been presented by a neighbour who's saying that you shouldn't be doing any clearing and that's why this application should be refused. In response, that person is doing the same thing. So weigh that up. How concerned are they about clearing that we do when they don't care about it themselves? They're also concerned about dust. Now, they've just put in a new limestone driveway, and also the clearing that they've done creates dust. So weigh that up. Are they really serious about their concerns? I don't think so. That's I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble, but that's what. So then other submissions are quoting things that I, with no reference. So if you read what they're saying, they're giving some quotes. What are their quotes? Where are they coming from? Is it, are these legitimate concerns? Because I can't find some of these references. So again, take them with a grain of salt. And other things, I think, because some people have a poor understanding of the statutory, not strategic planning system. They're two different things. And also some people wildly, wildly exaggerating our patron numbers of being 240 people when we're clearly proposing 120. Now, to be clear, I've done these projects before. When you've got people going to a wedding, you don't have people that are independent that are staying in the eco tents or your accommodation. You book out the whole lot. So when you look at car parking numbers, people who are parking at the eco tents, they're part of the wedding as well. So it's not 120 wedding guests plus extra. It's total plus stuff. So then saying we've got 240 people and then people are leveraging, well, you can't have 240 people and that's why this application should be refused. It was never 240 people. Okay? It was never even close to that. And it was clearly written in our report. So I don't believe some of these comments are addressing or approaching this in good faith. Now, and I could go on, but I'll leave it at that. Understandably, noise is a concern for everyone on all applications, whether it's weddings and outside music. So just to be clear, we were never asked to provide an acoustic report, and I've done several of these in these sort of projects, and I've got a bit of a feel when it's likely to be an issue. But in this particular case, if you look at the topography and distance indicated on the plans with contours, you'll notice that there's quite some, you know, reasonable ridge lines separating the subject site with the neighbouring rural residential properties. And the distances we're talking about, you know, 380 metres from the nearest neighbour to the eco tents, and 440 metres from the weddings to the eco tents, to the neighbouring houses. At 440 metres, that's quite a distance. Plus, you've also got the contours. And in my experience, having commissioned many acoustic reports and noise management plans, I don't think we're in the realm of breaking the noise regulations. And that's why we didn't provide them. But if at the time there was concern about it and we were advised of it, we would have provided one. But when you've got big projects, you can throw money at it all day long. When it's just a smaller project with mums and dads, I don't want to be getting report after report until I know that the expense is worth it. So that's why we didn't provide that. We did provide, we weren't asked to, but we did also provide a transport impact statement, a traffic report. We just wanted to make sure that some of these concerns would be allayed by doing so. So we did that off our own back. And it did come back saying that it should support this application, and then that turned into a condition saying that we should provide a parking plan. And that's fine that we accept that condition. Then we look at the objectives of the zone. So look, I've gained many approvals for tourism developments, including accommodation weddings in rural and rural small holding zoning. So it happens all the time. You know, it's not unusual for that to happen in rural. So especially when you read the rural zone objectives in conjunction with your local planning strategy, which identifies this site for eco-tourist accommodation. It's been earmarked for that, and that's exactly what we're doing. So in terms of some positives, so I've been in the planning business for 20 years now, seven in tourism, and I genuinely think that this is the most amazing tourism site I've ever seen, and a pleasure to have worked on. It's truly magical, this property. And after you vote to approve this, one day you'll probably stay in one of these eco tents and be proud to say that you had a part to play in it. You'll also enable people from all over WA and Australia to experience this wonder. And with tourism, as you know, it injects a huge amount of money into the local economy. Also, Isaac and Brody are locals through and through. They're salt of the earth. I've had many conversations with them, and I genuinely believe that. And I can tell you for sure that I think that they'll run this retreat very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time. Do we have any other petitions? Yep.
Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, yep.
Just like to acknowledge the CEO, Deputy CEO, Town Planner, Shire Councillors, members of the public. Thank you for your time today. I'd like to start with attempting to provide some clarity around our timeline, because integrity means a lot to us, and so we'd like to clarify a few things to the Shire Council, our fellow business owners and the wider community, as we understand the audio and the notes last time were very heavily downloaded and discussed. So we first reached out to the Shire in 2020. I'd like to highlight the email dated September 2020, subject line, weddings in Bremer Bay. This was denied at the last Shire meeting. We then met with the town planner in his office in Bremer Bay in 2021. This was also denied. It was here at this meeting that the town planner presented us with satellite images, and we spoke of the natural clearing that already existed at the Salt Cove property. We were informed to construct a lawn area here would require no permits or development applications, and that small elopements and micro weddings on a private property required no further paperwork. We proceeded on that consensus. Salt Cove quickly grew in popularity. We reached out to the Shire again to gain further clarity, as we felt things were changing dramatically since our first meeting. Having been in the wedding industry for 10 years and worked within many shires, such as the Shire of Denmark, City of Albany, Shire of Augusta Margaret River, City of Busselton, City of Nedlands, City of Fremantle, and many more, it was at this point, with little to no progress from the Shire, that I provided suggestions on how these other shires invite submissions for temporary events, typically capped so as to comply with local council planning policies. The town planner told us he would do some more research, as there appeared to be some grey areas in the Shire's town planning scheme. We continued to receive no information or contact from the Shire, and it was at this point we decided to seek legal advice. We discovered that under the Planning and Development Regulations 2015, that temporary events are exempt from local development approval if they are in existence for less than 48 hours in a 12-month period. This, combined with our earlier conversations with the town planner, meant we proceeded, but with full respect to the 48-hour legislation, we capped our event numbers. We understand at this point that there was a breakdown in communication as this town planner moved on, When the new town planner was appointed, we again reached out to the Shire. It was at this point we believed some action was made, but not in the direction we were expecting. By this point, having been widely publicised on social media, websites, recognised in international magazines and local publications, you can imagine we were incredibly shocked when we received the letter in late March requesting we stop weddings. With our season in progress, I'm sure anyone with a heart would allow those weddings to take place so that we could then pause and address the concerns with the Shire moving forward. We have taken no further bookings this year in full respect to the Shire's concerns and of huge financial burden to us. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the local Shire councillors who spoke with us over that time. We only wish someone may have reached out to us years ago. We have always and will continue to work with our local Shire. The State Tribunal highlighted how important it is to maintain an open forum for communication and discussion, and that nothing untoward has taken place here. It is simply a matter of moving forward together, and we hope that that can happen today. I encourage anyone who listens to this council meeting to please read the 359-page submission, an incredibly thorough, eco-sensitive, innovative project utilising some of the state's biggest experts in their field. We've left no stone unturned, and our love for this region and this special parcel of land is paramount. I'll hand over to Isaac now, who will take some time to explain some of the benefits that we see for the project moving forward.
Morning and thank you for all your time today, everyone. On average, SOCCO generates an income, has generated for around 25 businesses, local and in the closer local community, I guess. And that's not including the accommodation platforms. I mean, the economic data, on average, can stimulate over a couple of hundred grand per wedding in a town of an around 500 permanent residents. Guests are always privately transported, ensuring the safety and respect of our town and to its residents. The benefits of this project have been felt far and wide. Almost every business in Bremer Bay has provided written evidence that they not only approve this project, but have benefited from this hugely. Local employment, tourism, creating shoulder seasons, and establishing Bremer Bay as a world-class destination are all pursuant to your decision today. We ask that you not only vote in favour today, but also consider withdrawing your court summons to us. I think that our ratepayers' money could be used far better elsewhere than attempting to prosecute a small business and family in this community. We've only ever moved with honesty and clarity, and hoping we can move forward together, and thank you again.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else that wishes to? Yes? State your name.
My name's Dave. I'm from Brentwood Beach. In the first application that I got to see, there was no caravan park, and then I discovered there was a caravan park application that was trying to be put forward. I noticed in this what I was sent out just of recent, it's not there. Is it or is it not still on the table for an application to go forward? And also, even if it's not on the table, because particularly we don't really want to have another caravan park in town for obvious reasons. That's just a question. Can anyone answer that?
So technically questions need to be done in question time, but...
Sorry, excuse me.
No, that's okay, but this application does not have a caravan park in it. And we can only assess the application we have in front of us today.
Just as another point of note, with a caravan park, and I know the pubs, the noise that the pub will make with a band is probably a lot more excessive than a wedding venue, but I know that I've had customers in the caravan park complaining of noise, and when I've tried to go to investigate where the noise is coming from, when I stand in the park, it's coming from the pub, and that's 3 kilometres away, just so you get a bit of an idea of how far noise can travel in the right situations with a bit of wind. So anyway, thank you very much to the council for your time, and I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you for your presentation.
Do you want me to explain the caravan park thing on our application?
It's not really relevant at the moment because it's not on this application. We're only we're only taking it into account.
This plan, and I can explain that if you like.
Do we need any further? Council is only addressing the issue of the plan that's put, the application that's put in front of us today, and that's not on it. So I think, but I don't think there's much point in us going into something that's not in front of us at the moment. So do we have any other? Yes?
President, councillors, Michael Lance, president of the River Bay Community Menshed Group. Pushing our case for the grant of the land, which is very promising for us because we've been heading down this road for probably 3 or 4 years. Initially, we're going to have a lease here, which is never going to be where we want it to be, too far out of town, etc. But we were offered it and we took it. But in hindsight, I'm glad that we've come to this point because it would have been probably a white elephant, waste of time and money. We can't wait to, if we do get the nod. We've got grant money, substantial money, not grant money, we've got our own money from cash containers, and we'll get grants and have it done hopefully within, I hope, 18 months, because a lot of us are getting a bit long in the tooth, and some longer than me, but thank you and thank you for Richard for being very prompt on it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks for the presentation. Anyone else? No, we can move on. There are no responses from question time last time taken on notice. We have no recommendation for anyone to attend via Teams or electronic communication. Council has a application for leave of absence. So if someone can move that Councillor Hislop be granted leave of absence for the ordinary council meeting to be held, or meetings to be held over the 23rd to the 30th of September. Councillor Barrett, second to Councillor Zacca, all those in favour? Yep. There are no announcements by myself. I can move straight on to 10.0, confirmation of minutes. Can I have someone confirm that the minutes for the ordinary council meeting held on the 26th of July 2026. Councillor Hall, second to Councillor McCoy, all those in favour. Can someone confirm the special council meeting held on the minutes for the 7th of August 2026? Councillor Barrett, second to Councillor Hislop, all those in favour. And can I have someone move that council receive the minutes from the Bremer Bay Community Development Committee meeting held on the 11th of August in 2026. Councillor Hall, second to Councillor McCoy, all those in favour. And can I have someone move that the council receive the minutes from the Local Emergency Management Committee meeting held on the 17th of August 2026. Councillor Barrett, Councillor Zacca, all those in favour. Moving on to 11.0, recommendations and reports from our committee. We have nil to report from today. 12.1, technical services. Moving on to 12.1.1, the tender request for the flood damage repairs. All information has been presented as read. And can I have someone move the officer recommendation for the 2 points involved there? Councillor Hislop, Councillor Zacca, seconded. All those in favour? Thank you. Moving on to 12.2, corporate services. 12.2.1, accounts for the payment of July 2026. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation that council notes the chief executive's list of accounts paid under delegation authority? And Councillor Barrett, Councillor McCoy seconded. All those in favour?
monthly financial report for July 2026. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation that council receive the monthly financial report for July? Councillor Zaka moved, seconded Councillor Hall. All those in favour? Thank you. Moving on to 12.3, development services. 12.31, development application for lot 112, 43 Horse Hill Road, Bremer Bay. Put to new page. Sorry. Now, can I have someone move the officer recommendation that council approve development application P26003 for a recreation centre, tourist accommodation, signage and associated works on lot 112-43 Horse Hill Road, Bremer Bay, subject to the following conditions. All conditions are stated in the adjoining paperwork. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation?
Oh, I will, but it's a reception centre. You said recreation centre.
Oh, sorry, reception centre.
President, but I will move it.
Councillor Barrett, seconded Councillor Hall. Anyone wish to speak for or against?
I'd like to put forward an amendment.
Councillor Zaka, yep.
Please. Councillor Zaka. Firstly, the first line of the recommendation says P26003. It should read P26006. So just to change that. I want to propose that we delete conditions 4 and 17 regarding the environmental protection and the cultural and heritage obligations because they are also repeated in the advice notes. After the words proposed development in condition 8, add the words before the commencement of the use so it's consistent with the remainder of the fire conditions. And delete the last paragraph of advice note 3 that requests that no other building permit can be issued until retrospective of the homestead is complete, because each building permit application needs to be assessed on its own merit and can't be linked to or influenced by another. Yep, that's all my changes.
Okay. Do I have a seconder for the amendments to the these, Councillor Hislop. Do we want to speak for these, Councillor Hislop? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Councillor Zaka first is the mover.
Sorry, Councillor Zaka, do you want to speak for these?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I support the proposal, but agree with a lot of the concerns around the fire danger. But I think with all of these conditions in place, I look forward to seeing it done as per.
Anybody wish to speak against the amendments first? No one's being against. Would you like to speak for the amendments, Paul?
No, Councillor Hislop? Councillor Zaka?
Yep. So there's a vote there to move those amendments only for this. So all in favour? Mm-hmm. So then we'll take the motion back to the start. And which was moved by Councillor Barrett and seconded by Councillor Hall. Can we have move whether we're all in favour of the application with the amended clauses? All in favour? And done. So, moving on. 12.3.2. Deposition of property, Park Reserve 511 Bremer Bay. Can I have someone move the... I'm on the right one, aren't I?
Yes,
sorry. Councillor, move the officer recommendation that we... deposition of the portion of 5.11. Mm-hmm. Councillor Hall, seconded Councillor McCoy, all those in favour? Uh, 12.3.3, adoption of local planning policy number 20 for unhosted short-term rental accommodation. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation for this as read?
Yep.
Councillor Barrett,
Councillor Hislop seconded. All in favour? Executive Services 12.4, 4.1. Can I have someone for the information bullet of July to August 2026? Can I have someone move the offer of recommendation that Council receive the information bulletin? Move Councillor Zakida, seconded Councillor McCoy. All those in favour? 12.4.2, the Council plan for the 2026 through to 2036. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation that Council, by an absolute majority, receive the Council plan for the 2026-2036 period? Councillor McCoy, seconded Councillor Hall. All those in favour? 12.4.3, proposed animal, environment and nuisance local law, finalist adoption. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation for all items presented? Councillor Zaka, seconded Councillor Barrett. All those in favour? 12.4.4, proposed bushfire brigades local law final adoption. Can I again have someone move the officer recommendation for all points in noted? Councillor Hislop, seconded Councillor McCoy. All those in favour? 12.4.5, dogs local law. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation again for all points related to the dogs local law? Councillor Hall, seconded Councillor Barrett. All those in favour? 12.4.6, the dust, sand and erosion local law. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation and all points relevant for the dust local law? Councillor Barrett, seconded Councillor McCoy. All those in favour? 12.4.7, the proposed parking and parking facility amendment local law, final adoption. Can I have someone move the officer recommendation and the points therewith? Councillor Hislop, seconded Councillor McCoy. All those in favour? Moving on to 15, new business of an urgent nature to be introduced. We have some new business we have to bring in of an urgent nature. The officer recommendation would like to make an officer recommendation that the new business of an urgent nature, namely item alteration of the 2026 council schedule, to be introduced to this meeting. Can I have someone move that? Councillor Zaka, seconded Councillor Barrett. All in favour? So the new business of an urgent nature is the September ordinary council meeting was scheduled for the 23rd of September 2026 at the council chambers. On the 23rd of the 26th, the council executive officer and manager of development will be absent due to other meeting commitments. So we have proposed to change the date to the 24th of September 2026. In addition, due to the August meeting date change to the 1st of December, there is currently only a 3-week break between August and September. So if we can move, so can I have someone move the officer recommendation that Council, with respect to the 2026 Ordinary Council schedule, approve the following reschedule of the Ordinary Council meeting date from 4 September to Thursday the 24th of September 2026 at 1 p.m. at the Council Chamber of Jeremunga, and request that the Chief Executive Officer or his authorised officer advertise the approved date by Council notice and on the Shire of Jeremunga website and the social media site.
Yes.
Councillor Barrett. Seconded Councillor Zaka. All those in favour?
You got it.
So, matter switched to meeting needs to be closed. There is none. And so I will now call this meeting. The next meeting will be the 24th of September 2026, commencing at 1 p.m. at Jeremunga. And I'll call this meeting closed at 1:45 p.m. Thank you.
yeah, you should have a